I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Lenta.
And we're two peas in a podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, May 1st, 2017.
I hear you're... Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
I hear you scratching. What is that?
Yeah, I'm doing my bingo scratch tickets.
Oh, the scratch and wins.
It's like the most exciting part of my day. But I always...
Yeah, see, I never buy that because it's messy. Like, your whole desk is full of these shavings or whatever.
Yeah, I don't like that, but I've got my own little scratcher thing now. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Like a plastic thing?
Yeah, the little plastic scratcher.
Yeah.
And I have a whole method that I do. So I usually scratch them on a magazine and pile all the shavings together, and then I dump them all in the garbage.
It just takes too long sometimes. I've been known to buy them, scratch for the barcode, and then go to the machine and check them. But I guess that defeats the purpose for some people.
It really kind of does. It takes the fun out of it.
Yeah.
I've kind of come up with like a method for my scratch tickets now. You know, and sometimes I can't even, because like, for instance, this card, on this scratch ticket in particular I'm playing, there's 12 different bingo cards on it to scratch.
Yeah.
And I can't always see the patterns in it because it's just, it all mung together after a while. So I usually get Simone, my eldest, to check them for me.
Yeah.
And if she can't, you know, even when she does check it and she's right, I still bring it to the machine. And I've oftentimes thought, like, screw it, I could just take off the barcode and...
And then just, when you're right there at the, when you're right at the lotto shop.
Yeah, but that's like, you know, that's kind of lame. It takes the fun out of the scratching, and I think that's the fun part, is just the scratching, right?
Well, we'll check by the end of the show if you've won anything.
We'll see, we'll see where I am by the end of this.
Yeah. That is...
I might be a millionaire, and if I've disconnected, you'll know why. So, there you go.
But it is May 1st, so it's Happy May Day. I guess you're in the labor movement, so this is a big deal for you guys, right?
Yeah, May Day is definitely almost like a day of international solidarity for workers, and I think even more so now than ever, especially activists in other countries who get stoned or punished for being activists, some even killed. May Day is a very important day to recognize those people, and for workers in general, it's a day to recognize worker rights. And just the other day, actually, April 28th was the day of mourning for workers killed on the job. So it goes killed on the job, or you know, during work-related injuries. So it goes hand in hand with May Day again in recognizing workers.
I remember that day because that's, you see that on the news here. They always do a story on that because the NDP, they have a little, members of the NDP go down there with the union members, and they, downtown by Burrard there, because there was an accident 30 years ago or so. Where the workers had died, and so they remember them year after year. And that's important for all of us, whether you're a union member or not. Otherwise,
just a lot workers in general.
Yeah, a lot of us would be working more than 40 hours a week were it not for unions.
No, exactly. And I think people get the lines blurred of what workplace injuries look like.
Yeah.
That doesn't always mean the basic, you know, physical workplace injury. That's also bullying and harassment, which is a lot of what people are dealing with nowadays, ostracizing, just the internal and the mental abuse that happens in the worksite. You know, people commit suicide as a result. And there's, you know, the body, and we as humans react differently to the kind of treatment that we have in the workplace, so it's not necessarily always the physical injuries that we all see.
Yeah.
It's that stuff that we don't see is the most damaging kind of workplace injuries. And it's just, you know, a time right now for people to be aware of those things and kind of do a little pulse check on, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, unions have done, in the last 10, 15 years a great job in terms of, well, pointing out the need for mental health.
Absolutely, and that's sort of the key focus.
Yeah, mental health awareness in the workplace, because we always think of you getting injured at work physically, but there's a lot of the mental health problems that have been historically overlooked.
Yeah, and if not culturally, just in the workplace, and it's difficult to see those things sometimes. So it's just a moment that we can all be a little more self-aware and aware of our colleagues and family around us, and just take a moment to recognize them.
So the story last week, I guess, was Thursday. That has just gone viral since Thursday and into the weekend was the story of Linda, the hashtag I am Linda. Linda was in a grocery store Thursday in North Vancouver, and the Premier, Christy Clark, and the candidates in on the North Shore there were with her, and they're walking through the grocery store, shaking hands with people, and Linda comes up to her and says, "Hi, Christy, I'm Linda. I never vote, and I wouldn't vote for you." It's something like that. People can see the clip. They've probably seen it already. And Christy Clark says, it's nice to meet you first. And then when she says that I won't vote, she says, "Well, that we live in a democracy, and that's your right." Something like that, right?
Right.
And right away, this hashtag comes up, I am Linda, because everybody thinks that Linda speaks for them.
I think she does.
I mean,
I do vote. So, and we talked about that. I didn't hear that part that she said, "I don't vote," because that's just crazy. I wouldn't be announcing that.
Yeah.
So I do vote, but I would never vote for Christy. And I think so many people relate with Linda because it's like she got to do what I think a lot of us have been dying would love to do.
Harass the Premier?
Yeah. just to let her know that, like, I would never vote for you. I just want you to know that. Mm-hmm. One of my friends said, somebody was saying if I had seen her, I would have liked to, smack her in the face or something. And I said, yeah, I'm sure Linda could have done that. But I think that would have not had, honestly, I don't think it would have had much of an impact as this has. She smacked her in the face. That's assault.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody's condoning that.
Yeah. Well,
but I think the words, words go deep. And she won't forget that. I hope Christy is, losing sleep over that.
Well, I think some of her staffers are because, which we'll talk about later. But so right away Thursday, everyone said, this is, Christy Clark looks arrogant in that walking away from the voter and she should have talked to the voter. Well, it's obviously clear that Linda was hostile from the beginning. So I posted Thursday night, Friday morning that Christy Clark did her best in that moment. I thought she stood there. She heard Linda was a hostile person. As people online were saying, she should have engaged her and had a discussion.
I think so.
No, I don't think so, because it would have gone nowhere. Linda had her phone in her hand, and everybody had their phones in their hand in that place. It would have looked ugly. It would have gone ugly. It would have been, because Linda was obviously quite worked up, if you will. Like, if you watch the tape, she's very, as she walks away, the Premier does, she's still shouting at her, right? She's still shouting at Christy Clark. So it's obvious that
shouting.
Well, she was pretty. She was exercised, to say the least.
Oh my! Let's calm down.
No, she was because she says, "Hi, Christy."
Exercised.
She was exercised. Watch the tape again, and you'll see that she was worked up. Now here's the thing: Christy Clark knows.
She's excited.
As media savvy as she is, that this was not a thing to. Remain.
Into.
She walked into it, but it's not a thing to stay. I mean, the two examples.
She wasn't staying.
Yeah, the two examples I give are in 1986. Brian Mulroney is on Parliament Hill, and there's a group of old people protesting. So he goes over there to shake hands. Turns out some of them are from his riding in Quebec, so they're parlez-vousing in French. And there's one lady, Madame Denis, Solange Denis. I'll never forget that name as long as I live. 1986. She is complaining about the Mulroney government canceling pensions for old people, or not canceling them, but reducing them. And so she was very upset, and she's screaming at him in French, and the video cameras, and there's crowds now around the then prime minister and all these protesters. And so she's talking to him in French, and the only line that people remember to this day is, she said, "Goodbye, Charlie Brown." And the look at that moment, because she's relieved that she got to say this to the prime minister, and the prime minister's not obviously pleased that, you know, he's met someone who's, you know, a detractor. People remember
Charlie Brown. And
people remember Mulroney, let's not forget, 1984 won the largest majority in Canadian history. And now here's a woman who was a supporter from his province, from his riding, saying, "Hey, you know, goodbye, Charlie Brown." And so
goodbye, Charlie Brown.
And then there was another moment. She said that in English, as she was, you know, just talking in French. So that obviously took a life of its own. And after that point, Mulroney was smart enough not to get into crowds with people who were protesting. Kim Campbell in the 90s. Another old lady. It's always old ladies, it seems.
Yes.
David Milgaard's mother. Milgaard was the guy who was accused of and imprisoned for murder when it turned out he was innocent.
Ooh.
But he was in prison for like 20 years or so. And so in the 90s, his mother, Mrs. Milgaard, Joyce Milgaard, working to get him free, right? Because she knew her son didn't do it. And so Kim Campbell at the time was the justice minister, and she was the last person to hear the appeal as to whether her son is freed or not.
Mm.
And so she's standing in a hallway because she knows Kim Campbell's inside this room, and she's got this huge file of papers, and she wants to give it to Kim Campbell. Kim Campbell comes out, says hello. She says, "Hello, I'm Joyce Milgaard." She's pushing these papers into Kim Campbell's hands. Kim Campbell says, "No, no, no." She puts her hands up saying, "No, no, please, if you want a fair hearing, you will not do this. It's not." And then it's almost like a deer caught in the headlights moment, where she's almost pushing the lady back, and the lady's, you know, trying to push back on her. And Kim Campbell doesn't look good, right?
Well, that was back in the day. Like, news was exciting then.
Yeah, so Christy Clark is smart enough to know not to get into a moment like that, because it's going to devolve into a shouting match.
I guess, you know, I can see that.
And then that's what happened on Sunday with John Horgan. He was speaking at a park there in South Vancouver, and then this heckler comes by and starts yelling at him, and Horgan wanted to sit down with him and reason, but the guy, you know, left. But still, I mean, it was not a good image on the TV, especially since the other side is trying to paint him as a guy with a temper problem, right?
Right. Well, how was Horgan's reaction? I didn't see that.
Well, they were going back and forth. But, I mean, that's the story rather than whatever, because they were at a playground in a park and probably revealing some education or health care or child care policy. Nobody
and
knows about that.
I
saw were two guys shouting at each other.
Right. And that's the image that people get. But I think, you know, if we bring it back to Linda, I think, you know, like I said, she's just kind of, you know, the voice of the people, if you will. And I think we all just see a bit, maybe not all of us, of course, but most British Columbians see a piece of us in her.
Yeah, I must say, there was stories later on came out that she was a... People were accusing her of being a plant because it turned out she was she'd known Nicholas Simons, who was an NDP MLA, and they'd worked together. And so the Liberals automatically go on Twitter and say she's a plant. And two people in particular did not distinguish themselves. The two people close to the Premier, Laura Miller, who runs the campaign for the BC Liberals, was one of the people tweeting and saying that she was a plant and disrespectful and things like that. And Mark Morrison, who is Christy Clark's ex-husband, does the same thing, saying that she's a plant and really libeling her at this point, because then at some point the reporters start saying, no, Linda is, you know, a citizen, and it's not right that they start attacking a citizen for speaking out.
Attacking poor Linda. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, so are you surprised, though, that it has taken a life of its own, that this has become...
Oh, no, I'm not surprised at all. I knew that was going to become a hashtag if I didn't make it up myself sooner. Because she's, you know, for a moment there, she was my absolute hero.
But I do feel, I feel quite troubled by the fact, because she is in her middle-aged years, that mm-hmm. she never votes, and yet she obviously has issues that she's concerned about, whether that be health care or education or whatever.
That is troubling.
But there are 45% of British Columbians who are like her who don't vote, right?
Exactly. I don't want to judge. These people must have their own reasons for...
Yeah, but I mean, some of the reasons that they give is that we're busy election. But I mean, there's so many opportunities to vote.
Well, most people, it's just bullshit, right?
Yeah.
It's just they're not... They don't see the change that they want, so they've given up on voting. That's what most people's reason is for not voting. I mean, they can say whatever they want, but that's essentially it. If you saw the results that you wanted, why wouldn't you vote?
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, it's, if you don't vote, then you have left it in the hands of everyone else to make that decision for you, and you do not have any room to complain later. You had an option. You had a moment to have your voice, and you chose to not have that. So what do you want?
Just to add to what you're saying, just in case people misunderstand what you're saying, is that even though Linda does vote May 9th, if let's say Christy Clark gets reelected, that doesn't mean that she shuts up. That she can continue to speak out even though
she did vote, right? Absolutely. Yeah. She can still bitch, especially more so because now she did vote.
And she didn't get the result that she wanted.
And she didn't get the result she wanted, right? That's not going to happen, but she at least has more room to complain.
So you think Christy's going down?
I'm pretty hopeful.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that next week when we get closer to the election. But, I think because of the last debate and now we're into the last little bit now. I guess it's 9 days before election
day. Crunch time.
Yeah, we're going to see. And then I think that's why people are thinking about these things now. Yeah,
exactly. And why the whole Linda is taken off, you know, right at the, you know, advanced ballots, that just the same week that the advanced voting stations opened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it had a nice, perfect, opportune timing. Not just saying, I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
Just looking at timing.
Yeah. Well, another election that we mentioned last week and that's coming up is the French one. And
right.
We also talked last week about dating and linking the two, because there's an issue here about the leading candidate. There's two candidates for president. There's the fascist, Marie Le Pen, who's running for a right-wing campaign, and then Emmanuel Macron, who is 39 years old.
And his partner,
that's what everybody's heard about, right? That his wife is much older than he is, 24 years older than he is. He's 39 and she's 64.
Because that's like not the norm. That's just crazy.
Yeah, and so we met up this weekend and we were talking about the show last week and how we were talking about dating and, you know, you're looking for a man.
Yeah.
What level of, say, age disparity is appropriate?
So, like, I was talking to some girlfriends at work, and apparently we're supposed to do your half your age plus 7.
Mm.
So my number came to 24.
That's my number too, right?
So we have the same number, but I thought, okay, so for you as a man, I don't know, how do you feel about dating a 24-year-old? How does that
A 24-year-old woman, that'd be fine with me, frankly.
Like, for me, I think it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little young. Like, I have a brother that's young, that's older than that. So I feel like my younger brother is 27. I should be doing, like, around that age.
Why?
I don't know. Any younger, and I'd feel like yeah, I'd feel like their older sister or something. I don't know.
Would you feel that, or would other people make you feel that?
I think it would be just me. Because mentally, I'm just used to, accepting that as a woman, I could be with a guy that was maybe 10 years older. But when I think 10 years younger, it's a little frightening to me. That's just me, and it's only because I haven't done it yet. I'm sure it's not that bad. It looks lovely, but I haven't had the opportunity.
Comparing where we are in our age and someone who's 24, the level of maturity is a lot different, right?
Oh, it's going to be like,
and so that's a factor. Yeah. I mean, if we're 55 as opposed to 35, I don't think we'd be having as much of a discussion now, would we? About maturity levels, right?
It's completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The half plus 7 doesn't really apply when you're 35. Maybe when you're 40.
Maybe a little older.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't feel like it applies for me.
But now let's say you go the other way, someone who's much older than you are. Would that be of a concern, say, well, not only personally, but say socially, if you're out and about with friends?
Well, you know, I have a friend who dates a guy that's quite older than us. Dare I say, I think he's almost even in his 50s.
Okay.
But
that hasn't proved a problem, or has it?
It has proved a problem, but actually, because I think they're just in different stages of life, right? Mm. You know, he doesn't want to do the same things that she wants to do. Level of energy is just not there. And interests are just completely different.
So
it's an interesting dynamic. And although that could just be them as a couple, but maybe, I don't know, it's the man and it's the woman. She's younger and he's the older one.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that makes a difference.
Yeah, I think it does make a difference, because we've seen all these stories the last couple of weeks in the press about the age difference between Mr. Macron and his wife. And
large.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same margin as that of Donald Trump and Melania Trump, but people don't really talk about that.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's about, he's 70 and she's 45.
Oh my God.
So that's 25 years.
What are you doing? He's not worth it.
Well, that's because it's him, right? But I mean, you know, but there are a lot of marriages that are like that, though, right? And you just look at Modern Family, that show.
True. Yeah.
Al Bundy's married to someone who's it's the same margin of the same difference in age, I should say.
And you know, it's like, do you want kids? I don't know. Do you want kids with that person? Do they want to be like 80 with a 10-year-old? I don't know. And life choices, really.
Do you think that you don't see as many younger men with older women because, say, the older woman may not want children at that age anymore? She's had children already.
Yeah.
And the guy would.
Well, I think there's factors like that involved, but I'm hearing a lot of stories of older women dating younger guys. Like at work, my friend at work, her sister, she said, is 30.
Yeah.
And she just started dating a guy that's 23.
Yeah.
And I guess when they met, he said he was 28.
Uh-huh.
So he told a bit of a fib.
Yeah.
But he's actually 23, and he's very mature. So, and this is a regular thing I'm hearing quite a lot of women, and I don't mean just like older women. I'm talking like women like my age.
Yeah, I guess guys who are younger are looking for someone
They are. They're looking for women.
Or they are more responsible or more mature themselves.
Well, yeah, they want women that are mature. And sometimes, you know, like, even with me having children, I think a lot of them like that because they know that I'm not going to want more, right? Mm-hmm. So they know that they're not going to be hooking up with somebody who is going to be looking to, like, lock them down with kids.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it's an added benefit. But like I've said to you, I've said to a few of my friends, I think I have accepted that I will have to start dating down. So when that younger option presents itself, I will take it, and I'll report back.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny how we get we talk about these things in a way where certain couples are unacceptable. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That we look down on them or whatever, right?
True. Well, it's like if it were, well, you know, you got to be over 18.
Yeah.
First of all, or else that's like, I think that's a crime.
Well, see, here's the other thing about Macron. She was his elementary school teacher.
See, that's weird. And that's weird. You know, that's kind of like the Celine Dion thing, right?
Oh, because they'd known each other when she was a kid?
Since she was a child.
Yeah. Mm.
Don't you think? I don't know, I find it weird.
Yeah, well, that's like,
it's like, it's like she was. It's like, yeah, he's been watching him or her since they were a child.
Yeah.
And just waiting for your time to
it's legal,
count, if you will.
Yeah.
Until it was legal. Jesus.
Well,
it's a long time to wait. But you know, and it's funny, like, that we're even talking about this. That we're talking about this because at work we've been talking about this a lot. And so the girl that I work with, she's from Croatia originally. So she came here as a teenager, and when she was we were talking about this younger woman, older woman, and teacher affairs. I think I was telling you about this, like how we were talking about, you know, affairs with teachers,
yeah,
and females versus boys, and I was showing her the Mary Kay Letourneau story.
Oh yeah, that's from the 90s, isn't it?
You remember that?
Yeah, she was the teacher, and he was the student, and they had, like, several children, didn't they, by the end of it?
They did. Yeah, they're like, we got two grown children now.
Yeah.
I mean, Mary Kay herself had a family of her own prior to the affair with Villay, I think his name was, Villay.
He looked Filipino, I remember that.
He looked Filipino, yeah. I think they were Hawaiian.
Yeah.
They had two children of their own. They're grown now.
And they're still together, right?
They're still together. They're married, and they actually look very in love. Because I just looked the story up again just last week and wanted to see kind of where they were, and I was showing her this, and she was blown away coming, yeah, you know, because she's from Croatia, so she never heard about it.
Well, the thing is about that case is that she should have been put on trial because she was a teacher. And
right.
Not because she was a teacher, but because he was underage.
He was a child.
Yeah.
He was a child, and they were getting together, like, in their car while she was out. It was just crazy. It was like watching the O.J., you know, the chase.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was a car crash.
It was. It was watching a car crash. But yeah, so these things happen. It happens quite regularly, and the difference in, you know, in age,
yeah,
I think it's just coming out of, we're talking about it a bit more, right? I think if we, now that we're asking the questions, there's probably, like, huge age gaps that we don't.
But that's been throughout history. I'm reminded of an article I once wrote for our friend Michael Kwan's website,
mm-hmm,
where, yeah, Burt Reynolds dated Dinah Shore, and they had a relationship for a long time, and she was older. Ashton Kutcher and
right,
Demi,
yeah,
Moore, And going back in history, I remember I named these couples in that column I wrote for Mike. Shakespeare and his wife, there was an age difference there.
Oh, really?
So this goes back a long time, but it's I guess we've just been trained that it's not normal.
Well, I don't know what is normal anymore, and where's the magic number cut off of, you know, what's acceptable and what's not. I think, you know, for most people, it's just as long as they're over 18, it's legal, right?
Yeah. But then there are other stories. I mean, like if someone younger married Betty White today, people would automatically accuse
her in it for the money.
Yeah, you know,
right?
They're waiting for her to die and get everything, right?
That's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, that happened to Martha Ray. She married someone who was significantly younger.
Or Anna Nicole Smith.
That's right, yeah.
Right? Rest in peace.
Well, speaking of money, how much have you made on the scratch and win?
Well, I'm just about finished this one. I'm seeing a line come up. This one's a lot, so this one hurts my eyes to look at. I have to get Simone to look at this one.
But have you won anything at all?
If anything, I think I may have won $10.
Well, that's not bad.
And I won 10 on the other one, so I would have $20 altogether, just off scratch tickets. See that?
Yeah. And how much did you pay for them?
This is what my retirement's going to be looking like.
Well, how much did you pay for the tickets? So you're up 20, but how much did you put out?
$8.
So you're up 12.
Right.
That's not bad for a Monday morning, yeah.
Yeah, no, not bad at all. I'm not complaining. It's $12 I didn't have, so.
But that's, you're talking about retirement. You go to these malls. You go to Kingsgate Mall, for example, and it's just groups of old people sitting there looking at the machine.
Full of old people, yeah.
You know that thing, the crawl that runs with the Keno numbers, I guess.
The Keno machine. So we're going to have to learn how to play that before retirement, because I hear that pays well.
Does
and you know
really?
There's no money for us, right?
So. Well, you're not going to have a pension, no. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, no. Every time I talk about it, my grandma laughs at me.
We'll just have to marry. When we're old, we'll have to marry rich young people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm starting to look already. And if not, we'll have to save each other a spot at the table
at the Kingsgate Mall.
Kingsgate Mall or the one in New West there.
The what's that, the Royal City Center?
Royal City Center,
which I went to this weekend. I'll tell that story next week about the guy from El Salvador who came up to me, because that's it works into the election theme, which we'll talk about next week.
But they have a bookstore, so you know we've got that together too.
That's the only reason why I went to Royal City. I mean, I'm not going to Sixth and Sixth
not for scratch tickets, that's for sure.
Yeah,
a few years maybe, not now.
No.
Well, anyways, that's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, May 1st, 2017.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back next week.